This episode is brought to you by Iams Pet Food. When you choose Iams dry dog or cat food, you can see a difference in your pet with your own eyes. Healthy energy in 5 days, healthy digestion in 10 days, and healthy skin and coat in just 25 days. Satisfaction for you and them. Guaranteed or your money back. Feed Iams dry dog or cat food and see a visible difference. Visit Iams.com/difference to learn more.
Final hour here, Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Matt Jones, Ian Fitzsimmons. The Rams have driven down the field. Touchdown, Cooper Kupp. For those of you that had Cooper Kupp on your parlays, it is 14-14 in Los Angeles. We are now joined by Kelly Stauffer. He's ESPN college football analyst. He does the Saturday college football games with Ian here on ESPN Radio. Kelly, I don't think we've met, but I have a question for you that I ask everybody when we're talking college football because I like the variety of opinions. I'm of the belief the NIL and transfer portal changes, which so many people decry and coaches want to get out and blah, blah, blah. I think it's made the sport actually a lot better because I think it's increased parity because the top programs cannot sort of stockpile all the best players. The second strings from Georgia and Alabama end up at schools where all of a sudden they can compete. Do you agree with that assessment as kind of a surprising result of this new era?
Yeah, there are aspects of what you said that I would agree with. I think the parity is real. It reminds me a little bit of when Nebraska was and some other schools, Oklahoma, Alabama, were dominating college football, and then they changed the scholarship limits.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, some of that talent had to go elsewhere, and that began a kind of a new era in college football. I think the parity part is real. I think the other part that I do not like is there's no sheriff in town. There's no one really overseeing any of this. And I think we will find a sweet spot at some point, but it's going to be chaotic in the meantime. And Ian knows this. We've been to places and we hear these just asinine stories about how much money these players have. They don't know what to do with it. They transfer out when, you know, at the drop of a hat.
You mean like coaches do, Kelly? Like when they get a better job opportunity, they leave sometimes before bowl games? You mean like that?
Yeah, and I've been we haven't met, so you don't know that I've been touting this for a long time. When the coaches whine about this, make them play out their contracts.
Yeah, I'm for it. Well,
that didn't happen. So here we are, and it takes lawsuits and a lot of other things to get us to this point. But the bottom line is we need oversight. We need authority somewhere. We need a commissioner of college football. We need rules and regulations in place. We don't have any. It's going to take chaos to get us there, and so be it if that's what it takes.
Kelly, you have to deal with me every single weekend for the last 3 years. I have to deal with Matt Jones every Thursday here on this show. So welcome to my world.
This is like the first time we've worked together in like a year, and he's already complaining.
Already.
I've heard Matt at other times and other places, and he's somewhat excitable. Kind of reminds me of you a little bit, Fitz.
Oh, man. See, really? Really?
Yeah.
That hurt.
Yeah.
That stings a little bit. Matt Jones.
Never mind.
Please do not lift that clip in because Matt Jones will use that for.
No, I'm more offended than you are by that.
Oh, good.
Are you
there
kidding
we go.
Me? The idea that that's a compliment to me is in no way, shape, or form.
It damn sure wasn't in this direction.
Well, how do you like that, Kelly? You work with Ian. How do you like the ravishing Rick Rude arrogance of Ian over here thinking that you comparing me to him is a compliment to me? How about that?
I am so used to that, I didn't even hardly hear it.
Kelly, we've seen some great players throughout the first 7-8 weeks in college football. QB1 for you right now, if you're an NFL team, of all the quarterbacks we have seen and are going to see, because for people who don't know, Kelly studies more tape than anybody you can imagine. Who is your QB1 right now for the NFL draft?
Oh, my goodness. It depends on my situation. If I'm a GM, I kind of have to analyze what we have in place, and so therefore what I need and all of that. I just don't throw it against the wall and say, hey, you're the first guy, regardless of who's going to be picking first. But this may surprise you guys, but I am a gigantic Garrett Nussmeier fan.
That's what I was going to say. Kelly, I knew you were smart. I think he's the guy.
I think the things that he's doing, if you watch him, and we saw him in person and we'll see him again, but he's been sacked twice this year. And he does have a good offensive line, two NFL tackles. But the reality is, he knows where he's going with the football and gets the football out, which is exactly the way the NFL plays. Because of his upbringing, because of his understanding of X's and O's from his dad and all those things, I really like him. So it wouldn't take a lot of convincing for me to take him. I don't know that he's the first pick in the draft type guy, but he's solidly in the first round as far as I'm concerned. If I'm a team that needs that type of guy that could just come in and understand the game more quickly than most guys.
It's interesting to me because this class of quarterbacks, I don't know if it's an elite group, but I can't remember a time that there have been this many quarterbacks that you could make a case for a bunch. Like, you could make a case for Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, you know, Jalen Milroe's an insane talent. I don't know if he's a first-round pick. You got Beck, and you got Quinn Ewers, and then, of course, Garrett Nussmeier. I mean, do you agree? It's a depth that I don't know is deep in terms of, like, being the strongest, but it does seem the most even that I can remember.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's depth. I think it's, like very thin and spread out. I don't know that there's a lot of depth to the class, to be honest with you. And, you know, you see the guys like Beck, Carson Beck coming into this year, I would have probably been behind him until I watched Garrett Nussmeier preparing for the game and then watched him in person. But then he turns around, Beck does, and throws three interceptions that, you know, were by and large really bad decisions more than it was good defensive play. So I know that that's what happens with young players, the learning curve. The thing that I think has to be looked into when you're drafting a quarterback, and trust me, I know this story well, you really have to look into their mental makeup and transpose that onto the locker room that you're going to be bringing them into. Because what happens with so many young quarterbacks, they go to a terrible team. I'm talking first-rounders.
Bryce Young.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, and before long, and this happened to me, quite honestly, I talked to Anish Shroff about Bryce Young. He's their radio play-by-play. And because what happens at the quarterback position, unlike any other, you're tied to everyone else on the field. And you can't get it done if the rest of the guys don't get it done. And so if you are kind of dropped into a bad football team, you know, you hear these narratives like, well, he's holding the ball too long. Okay, where exactly do you want me to throw it if receivers aren't getting separation? You know, he's getting a little unnerved in the pocket. Okay, we're on pace to set an NFL record in sacks. So how exactly do you want me to mentally process that? And that's what happens. And Bryce Young's in the middle of it. So I hope he recovers. I don't know if it's going to be with the Panthers or not, but that's what happens to young players. And before long, the harder you try at that position, the worse it gets. Because you can't get guys open. You can't block people, you know, in pressure looks. And you can't do other people's job. And before long, you're in a position you've never been in before, which is, am I good enough to be here? And you start to doubt yourself, and that's when all hell breaks loose. So I hope that, like, a guy like Bryce Young that you talked about, Fitzy, pulls out of it. But, you know, it's a tenuous situation.
Man, I love the Nussmeier, you know, as far as your QB1. That's a great one, without a doubt. Now, as far as college football coming up this weekend, how much of this is an elimination weekend for a lot of teams, including our game where you and I will be at Oklahoma at Ole Miss. How many teams are on elimination watch when it comes to the college football playoff?
Well, 50, I trust that you were paying attention in our production meeting this morning, because I believe Oklahoma, if you didn't pick up on it, may be already eliminated.
They
right?
are. Yes. I think we got that one. Yeah. Talk about the other team, you know, the other one. Right. There you go. Yeah, the other squad.
Yeah. This is what I think is intriguing about the 12-team playoff. First of all, the insane environments we've been in, because, you know, cliche-ish, but every game seems to matter more. And we've faced this elimination mindset already a few times. But yeah, I think it is. I think if the standard is probably the threshold, probably a regular season 10-2 team ish, they're gonna be exceptions to that. But if that's the case, then we have a lot of teams that we thought were playoff teams that already have one loss, maybe two losses, that simply can't afford anymore. And There are some good ones. You know, Texas, what kind of condition are they in when they go to Vandy? Who thought that was going to be interesting? We saw the LSU team kind of hit their stride fits, and they go to A&M. We saw A&M get off the canvas when we had them at Florida, when they had, you know, Wigman was out, and they had all these issues at quarterback, and now all of a sudden I would not want to play Texas A&M because they were already playing defense. It was just a matter of getting QB1 straightened out. I would not want that team right now either. So that's what's happening. The parity that Matt talked about as an example, you start to get better as the season goes along, and now all of a sudden you have playoff hopes well deeper into the season than we normally do. So I think it's an amazing atmosphere that college football has become.
I will tell you, Kelly, as the legal side of me will say, to your point about regulation of NIL, which I think is a good one, I do think the first steps towards its happening are coming. The judge agreeing to that settlement in California, and then when this presidential election's over, Kelly, I genuinely believe they're headed towards a future. But you're right, the next 2 years are going to be wild until they get it. Thank you very much, Kelly, for taking the time.
All right, guys, have a good evening.
See you, boss.
Appreciate it. Kelly Stauffer, ESPN college football analyst. Have you been following that settlement, Ian? So yeah, but that's going to set the new college football structure, $22 million for each college to kind of give out how it wants. I think that's the future.
To answer your question, no.
Well, you should, because that's what's happening. I mean, like, what that case in California will be the future of college sports. We will deal, big deal, or not a big deal.
Is
that's
that a big
next
deal?
Here on Amber and Ian. That is a pretty big deal.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/network.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod.
Little Beastie Boys here, Amber and Ian. Oh, it's not Beastie Boys. That was that was sampled by the Beastie Boys, but that's the original Mr. Ozzy Osbourne t-shirt playing. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? They're yours, and Progressive protects them both. Bundle today at progressive.com. You know, we talk about a lot of things on this radio, but that doesn't mean all of them are important.
No,
so sometimes, we got to figure out, is it a big deal or not a big deal?
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
Big deal or not a big deal is brought to you by the folks that are a big deal at Johnsonville. They keep it fun and they keep it together. And like Ian, they keep it juicy at Johnsonville.
Is it James, a big deal if you wear an Ozzy Osbourne t-shirt?
It is if you want to be on the jury.
Yeah, there we go.
You're going to be out. All right. What's a big deal or not a big deal?
The NBA has begun an investigation into 76ers surrounding player participation of Joel Embiid. League officials told ESPN Embiid didn't play in the preseason for what the team called left knee injury management. He didn't play in Wednesday's opening loss to the Bucks. He'll miss two more games this week. It's typical for the NBA to review team anytime a superstar player misses a nationally televised game. The Sixers said Embiid is, quote, responding well to his individualized plan and will ramp up his return to play activities this week, including going through some scrimmages. This is part of a new normal for Embiid this season, according to sources. It's a strategy to keep the former MVP healthy for the postseason. The plan has been expected to include periodic time off during the regular season and routine evaluations from doctors and the 76ers medical staff, the sources said. Ian, big deal, not a big deal. We're already load managing Joel Embiid.
I could not care less anymore when it comes to load management and everything else involving the NBA. Don't care. Do not care. So to me, not a big deal, Matt.
That was the most old man thing you've ever said.
It really
anything
is.
At all in the NBA, like the whole sport, you don't care?
Load management, I said. Load. When it comes to load management, I do not care anymore.
I don't think it's a big deal because I don't think they're going to do anything about it. It should be a big deal because it is a problem for the NBA when it comes to making their regular season matter. I don't think any of their games – well, not any, but very few of their games feel like we need to watch them. And things like Joel Embiid just saying, I'm going to skip a quarter of the season just cause. What'd you say, knee injury management? Is that what you said?
Yeah,
he won't play in back-to-backs is what he basically said. I'm not playing games anymore.
I don't think it's a big deal, but only because I don't think they're going to do anything about it. What's next?
He lost 30 pounds. He also said he won't play in back-to-backs. So, as we talked about it before, game one of the World Series right here on ESPN Radio tomorrow night. Coverage is at 7 p.m. Eastern. Kevin Winter had a chance to talk to the Dodgers president of baseball operations, Andrew Friedman, today, and asked him about Shohei possibly pitching in the World Series.
What is Shohei's availability as a pitcher, Andrew, here in this World Series?
Just to hit them.
Just to hit them. So he's not going
to
be on the mound throwing a ball.
Just to hit against them.
them. We are not rolling up. We're not rolling him out to throw the ball.
He is a one-way player for the next 10 days, and then he will go back to being a two-way player.
Matt, big deal, not a big deal that we've shut the door on the possibility of Shohei pitching at all.
Well, I mean, it's a big deal from a marketing standpoint. It would be nice to have a guy pitch and hit in the World Series. It's not a big deal from a baseball standpoint because this year – I don't think he would fit into the plans for the Dodgers. I don't think he has pitched to where it would have mattered. So, but from a marketing perspective, it would have been cool. But from a baseball perspective, Ian, I don't think it's a big deal.
not a big deal because they're in the World Series and he hasn't pitched all year. But I loved the answer. That was a big deal when he just said he's a one-way guy. That's it. He's just hitting. Love the answer.
All right. We talked about a little bit earlier, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa expected to make his return on Sunday against the Cardinals after being out since September 12th when he suffered a concussion, his fourth in 5 years. His teammates, we heard from Tyreek Hill earlier, very happy to have him back on the field. But Hill also said that they have a plan to try to encourage Tua to slide more. Quote, when we were playing against the Colts, you see fans start clapping for Anthony Richardson when he slid, Hill told the Palm Beach Post. I said our fans need to clap for Tua to make him slide. Running back Raheem Mostert echoed the idea. Quote, we've been talking to him ever since his injury. I've been telling him, hey, you need to work on sliding. And we all joke around and laugh, but on a serious note, he knows that he has to protect himself a little bit better moving forward. Ian, big deal, not a big deal that they're going to try to encourage Tua sliding by giving him a round of applause.
Really? Really? Because guess what? Fans applauding if you slide are not going to make you slide. And the hit by DeMar Hamlin that gave Tua his last concussion wasn't vicious. I mean, but again, so not a big deal when it comes to fans applauding and cheering for you to slide. Bigger deal is health, but I'm not a guy who's going to tell another man what he should or should not do when it comes to his future. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not a big deal to tell him that he will be clapped for. I'm not sure. That's almost seems like a little patronizing to me anyway to do that. You know, he needs to take care of himself. He knows the best way to do that. The problem with football and when you've had as many concussions
violent
as he's had is there's nothing you can do to totally protect yourself from that, especially the way Tua plays. He's not a guy that's ever – for Tua to be effective, he has to be Tua. And being Tua gets you hurt. And that's the problem. And so ultimately I think it's – what makes it hard is I'm not sure there's a way for Tua to be a top seven quarterback in the NFL and not also risk injury, which makes the decision for him specifically much more difficult than I can remember a player having in quite some time. Now, we are going to not only talk NFL, but we're going to get back to college football a little bit. The parody world of college football makes me happy. Does it make Ian happy? Is it nice to have all these teams like Indiana matter?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
Jones is in for Amber Wilson, who's on maternity leave. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Hell of a weekend coming up in college football. And it's a remarkable look when you just take a gander at the standings. Number 23 in the country, Auburn, Army, 7-0. Navy, 24, 6-0. Vandy, 25th in the country, 5-2. It doesn't get a hell of a lot better than what we are experiencing this year in the great game of college football. And one of those stories is quarterbacked by a man named Blake Horvath, who I had a chance to talk to earlier today. He is the starting quarterback of the Navy midshipmen, the undefeated Navy midshipmen who are playing Notre Dame at MetLife Stadium coming up this weekend. And the first thing I asked him was, man, Blake, your journey, it's amazing. I've known your parents, your dad, for over 20 years now, and your pops, Alan, sent me a text this morning knowing I was talking to you tonight. And he said, ask Blake about Shohei Ohtani, the Raiders, and BYU, and how that led you to Navy. Go ahead. Floor is yours.
Yeah, a very, very crazy sort of journey when you really break it all down. My senior year, went out to Los Angeles with my family to just go on vacation, you know, right before senior year started, wanted to go on summer vacation. So we did, looked at the schedule, saw Shohei Ohtani was pitching, I believe versus maybe the Mariners. I can't remember exactly who they played, but, we're like, holy crap, of course it's Shohei Ohtani, got to go watch. And so my dad just bought some random tickets online, found them, and we get to our seats, and you know, there's a nice couple sitting next to us with their family, and so we just start some small talk, of course, and it turns out to, his name's Toby Christensen, he's Todd Christensen's son, the famous tight end from the Raiders. And so we just sort of, you know, hit it off, started talking to them, and you know, my dad just, you know, became Facebook friends and would keep in touch just to see how they were doing, because we talked to them so much about that game and gotten to learn more about them. And so then I went to my senior year of high school and was playing and was having a pretty good season, but still really hadn't found any offers for college football besides some Division II schools. And so I was still looking for some more. And my dad reached back out to Toby and was like, hey, I know you played football at BYU. Would you mind sending his film to the BYU coaches and maybe putting in a good word for us? And so, of course, he did. Sent it out there, and they unfortunately reached back. It was right on the heels of COVID, the big COVID impacts on college football, and so a lot of teams just didn't have enough scholarship offers available and slots available. So he reached out. He said, "You know what? We like him. He's good, but we think, you know, we don't have enough space for him. You should reach out to Coach Ken at Navy and send his film over there." So we sent it over there, and I think that the BYU recruiting coordinator reached out to them to say something about me. And so they looked at my film, thought it was great, and then really from there, it's when it all started. Came out to Annapolis, visited, loved it, and now I'm playing here. So that's the story.
That is absolutely amazing and infectious, man. Blake Horvath, quarterback, undefeated Navy, joining us here on ESPN Radio. Having said everything you just described, how much of a believer are you in that word, fate?
I think fate is a great word, but I think, you know, it's just the plan, you know, that in faith, really, in the plan that, you know, Jesus has for everyone. And I think, you know, it's just where I was meant to be, you know, honestly, like looking at it now. And I think it's the best decision I've ever made. It's the best opportunity that's ever came to me, just being able to be here at such a prestigious place. And now the opportunity I have within football, it's been really, you know, humbling, and it's just, I'm grateful to even be playing college football still, and to even have this opportunity to be having an interview on ESPN or any all these other places. It's just awesome, truthfully.
Look, man, you were raised right. You have great parents, and for people again who don't know, I've known Blake's, you know, parents going back 20 years now. And just remarkable people. And tailgating with them in the shadow of the horseshoe in Columbus, Ohio, you were born and raised in a football town. When it comes to just a game of football, what does it mean to you personally?
Yeah, I think I've always said this, but in the fall, it was always different. And all my family was always around, whether it's grandparents, cousins, you know, my parents and their tailgate, but it just brought everyone together. And we talked about that tailgate, but, you know, everyone came to visit, and it just felt like a party every weekend. And, you know, it was just a feeling around the fall and around football that, you know, just, you sort of just associate that with happiness now and, you know, the camaraderie of everyone. And so that extended to them playing football and just being excited for the season coming up and to be able to play, you know, peewee football to high school football to now college football has just been amazing. And so I think, you know, I've played football since I was like 4 years old, you know, at all those tailgates, I'd be throwing the football around, just sort of obsessed with the game. And so, you know, I'm a huge college football fan at heart. And so, yeah, it's just awesome to have these opportunities right now. And it's been surreal.
Navy's undefeated. Vandy's in the top 25. Army in the top 25. When you grow up in the shadow of the shoe, right, as an Ohio State fan, and I say those three things to you, Navy, undefeated, ranked. Army, ranked. Vandy, ranked. As a guy who plays the game, sum that up.
Yeah, I think if you would have said that to me or anyone else last year, that all three teams would be ranked at the same time next year, I think every single person would have called you crazy.
Hell,
honestly.
25 years ago, before you were born, yeah. I would have called you crazy, right?
It doesn't matter what year you would have said it. Maybe back – 20, you know, Keenan Reynolds, Malcolm Perry ages, and when Vanderbilt had a good team within there, you know, you could have gotten away with that. But just with everything, Vanderbilt's obviously got the rough schedule in the SEC, but what they're doing is amazing this year. And Army and us, I think you look at it, and all of us are sort of running a little bit of option as well. So,
yeah.
You know, I just the power of the option, I guess, this year. But it is honestly great as a fan to see college football like this in the first year of the 12-year playoff is really awesome.
You're going up against Notre Dame. You're at MetLife Stadium. Take folks behind the scenes. How big is this one for you personally and for your team, especially when you factor in a 12-team college football playoff?
Yeah, when you're coming to Annapolis and when you commit to Navy, you're committing for the reason that you get to play in these big games versus Notre Dame and on a national stage and on ABC, and you understand that that's a huge part of it and the tradition of the game going back. So this game means a lot to us, and the preparation goes into that. But, you know, we don't want to make it bigger than what it is in the end and make it too big and the bright's too light. You know, I think we just want to play our game, our style of football, and just go out there like we have all season. And obviously the implications of different things, whether it be college football playoff or rankings, you know, those come as they might, you know, but I think we just need to control what we can control. And that's, you know, our effort, attitude, toughness, and our execution. And man, so I think that's the biggest thing we got to take care of this week.
You have an infectious attitude, dude. Have you ever thought about if your dad hadn't gotten those tickets to go see Shohei Ohtani? And you end up sitting next to, you know, Raider legends and the Christensens, right? And you have that, all of a sudden, this connection. Have you ever thought about how different your journey might be?
You know, I haven't really ever taken the time to sit down and think of all of that as a whole. You know, my dad and I talk about it sometimes just
crazy.
With everything
like,
that has happened. But
crazy,
it really
man.
Is crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy that my dad just randomly checking his phone to see who's pitching for the Angels one night would lead to all this, you know, and it's weird when you think about that and to say that, but, you know, just buying those tickets has now led to this interview. So, you know, I'm extremely thankful and grateful for my dad, of course, and the fact that he wanted to take us to that game.
Man, it really is. As I mentioned, I think the perfect word is infectious. And as we turn you loose, man, and we can't wait to watch it, it's Notre Dame, it's at Navy, meaning at MetLife, it's ranked on ranked. You're unbeaten. You're leading the team in passing and rushing and everything else. But the biggest question is, what is it with ICEs? In Louisiana, we call them snowballs, right? I mean, and in Texas, uh-huh. Where I live now, there's snow cones. I'm told you have an addiction to ICEs, which
I wonder who told you that one.
Right. Yeah, there we go. What is it? What is it about a damn ice?
I think the guy that told you that, it's probably his fault, first off. for always, you know, growing up, my parents always very busy just with their jobs and, you know, with their work. And so we would have to stay late after school with some after school programs, just as more of a babysitting than anything, you know, really. But so my dad would have to pick us up from those or pick us up from practices or whatever. And so at night, and then he'd be like, oh, you guys want to get an icy or a slushy or slurpy, whatever you call them. And of course we always say yes. But then, you know, it just, you know, they're delicious. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And so it's really his fault. So even though he told you that, it's his fault for all of this. So
we will make sure to relay that message that your addiction to snowballs, snow cones, icies, Slurpees, whatever, whichever way you want to go with it, right, is blamed on your pops, Alan Horvath.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Sure.
Government name full on national radio. Done. He just got called out. Hey, Blake, look, man, good luck against the Irish. Your story is absolutely remarkable, and wish you the best of luck, man. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much. I had a blast.
What a small world. Just to have the privilege to catch up with that young man. With Matt Jones, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, where, Matt, you go back 20 years, and his dad, his parents, his mom and dad are hosting my mom, right, at an Ohio State game. And 20 years later, here we are having a conversation with the starting quarterback of an undefeated Navy midshipman squad going up against Notre Dame. I mean, it's remarkable what this world and the game of life will do to you.
It's a great story, and should be a big game on Sunday. Or Saturday. Looking forward to seeing it, and looking to see if Navy can compete. I don't see any reason why they can't. And if Blake Corvath were to have a monster game against Notre Dame, you know what would happen?
He needs an icy. He needs a snowball.
No.
Right. Snow
Wrong.
Cone.
He needs to unleash the beast with monster energy. That would help him.
There we go.
Don't let that beast be leashed. Unleash it. Tear into a can of the meanest energy drink. It is the meanest one, like Joe Green of energy drinks on the planet. Monster energy. Unleash the beast. We will talk more college football. Who's going to make the playoff? We will if I say so. That's next here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
So good, so good, so good.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of winter deals are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. And that means thousands of fresh reasons to rack.
Because we get the latest trends for way less.
I've been looking for these.
The best deals go fast.
Save big with up to 60% off Sam Edelman, Sorel, Free People, Cole Haan, and more cold weather finds. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
That's right. Yeah. Sensual sounds here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. You can tell your smart speakers, hey, smart speaker, play ESPN Radio. And if they do, you'll get this. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. He is Ian Fitzsimmons. He is headed off to the Grove. What?
Yeah.
You are, aren't you?
The Grove. Look.
You don't want people to know where you're going to be?
My point is, when you mention the Grove, I will give you the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Give me Ole Miss's top 10. I'll give you the entire country in college football. You take your best top 10, I'm going to beat you.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What are you
saying? Meaning scenery. Scenery. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I would say to you that I enjoy the Grove, but it's a little too bougie for me. Like, it's a little too, like, I feel like I'm walking into like the 1930s when
so
I'm there.
Chandeliers and
it's
all
just
that
a little
stuff.
Much. It's just
but
a little
I'm
much for
straight
me.
Scenery, right? Where it's just shall we say Chanel number 5 sundresses and cowboy boots.
I'm talking about the actual environment. For me, it's LSU. When it comes to tailgating,
that's a given. That's
you
a given.
Give me LSU number 1. I like the Grove. It's fine. But for me, I want tailgating where the party is the point, and that's LSU. At Ole Miss, it's more like see and be seen, sort of make the best
correct.
Spread. Whereas where I think at LSU, it's like, are you here to have some football? You know, Tennessee is a school I don't like because I'm a Kentucky fan, but Tennessee does it extremely, extremely well there.
Tailgating.
Georgia, the whole campus is tailgating. Literally, the entire campus. You just walk around and the entire thing, everywhere, hills. So that, to me, I like the Grove, But I actually would dare say that as a scene, you've done it once, you've done it. Whereas every time you go to LSU, you will see something different every time you go.
Now, that point that you just made right there, right, where you go to the Grove one time, you've seen it, and it is amazing. There's that old adage where Mississippi State produces All-Americans, Ole Miss produces Miss-Americans, right? And when it comes to the Egg Bowl. But walking through the Grove one time, my gosh. But anytime you go to LSU, to your point, dude.
No, it's awesome. You might see like an alligator giving a speech.
Any better.
I mean, it's
care.
Like there's all kinds of stuff happening.
I don't care
at any given
what game it is. I don't care if you're playing Nickel State or, you know, Michigan State. It doesn't matter. The LSU at night is by far,
the best.
Bar none, the best environment in college football. It doesn't,
you know,
especially when it's ranked on ranked.
Texas this weekend goes to Vanderbilt, and Texas is going to be like my good friends at ServPro. They're hoping that ServPro will come in and make it like last weekend never even happened because they lost last weekend. And this weekend, hopefully because of ServPro, they'll make it like it never even happened. It's the number one choice in cleanup and restoration. Texas needs to clean up and restore its resume to the college football playoff in Nashville. Vandy, the Nerds, they have the revenge. It's Hook'em Horns versus E equals MC squared. Any chance Vandy keeps
it? E equals MC squared.
Any chance Vandy keeps it competitive?
Yeah. I'm not betting against Clark Lee anymore. I have gotten whipped, to say the least. So, look, there is not a weekend anymore going forward when it comes to college football, and Matt, I'm curious to see if you agree or disagree with this, where we won't see chaos a-coming. We've already seen one undefeated team go down last night as a 27.5-point underdog to the Kennesaw State Owls. I didn't even know Kennesaw State they were the Owls until last night, right? So Liberty loses last night. You got nine.
You know what my grandpa? You know what my grandpa would have said about Kennesaw State?
Yeah,
he would have said, "There ain't no state Kennesaw." That's what he would say. He would say,
what?
"Kennesaw is not
they
one
won.
Of the 50 states." It always annoyed him when people called themselves state and they weren't a state. But to your point,
chaos
I agree with you.
Coming every
chaos
single
is coming.
Weekend in college football.
And let me go to Vandy's coach, Clark Lee. He should be the national coach of the year if they win eight games. If you look at their schedule, they play Texas. Then they go to Auburn. They can win that game. They host South Carolina, go to LSU, and host Tennessee. That's a brutal finishing stretch to the schedule. Yet, I watched them up front here in Lexington. They're not, and I'm going to say, this is actually respectful. It's not going to sound like it. But they're not good. Like, they don't have a lot of talent.
Whoa,
it's going to sound like it. No, wait a minute. Hang on. This is a compliment if you will stop cutting me off. They are not a talented team. They're not going to have dudes picked in the draft. Yet, they play to the best of their strengths. He gets the most you could possibly get out of those guys. And I think that is a testament to great coaching and players who play with a lot of heart.
Is it time that we actually give them credit for being a talented team, though? Because what you just said is so disrespectful.
That's a compliment. No,
hold
it's a
on.
Compliment.
They went on the road against a top 10 team at the time against Missouri and almost
beat them. It's a compliment, though. It's
beat
a compliment.
Bama, right, when they were number one in the country. So
it's a compliment. It'd be the equivalent of saying, like, it is a surprise to me that you read Catcher in the Rye. I would look at
twice,
you and
twice.
Hear you talking and think,
twice.
There's no way that guy would read Catcher in the Rye. So when you do, I want to say, wow, that's quite an accomplishment. Vandy is the you reading of football. And so I actually think that that's a very impressive accomplishment, like I was impressed that you've read Catcher in the Rye.
Ryan Matlack, James Steele, why do I like this guy?
James, am I wrong about that?
I mean,
isn't he the Vandy football of reading?
Yeah, I mean, just admitting that you on your own accord read The Catcher in the Rye is a surprise in its own.
And in the same way.
Let alone it being.
Not even the same way most of the Vandy guys are not going to play in the NFL. You are not going to be on the Nobel Prize list. Yet you read it and you understood it. And I'm proud of you.
I am Holden Caulfield right here, man. Bam, you're looking at him.
See, look
there
at that. Even knows the names of the characters. You should be Reader of the Year, and Clark Lee should be Coach of the Year. Ian, I had a good time with you. I hope you enjoy your Oklahoma Ole Miss game, and I'm sure I will talk to you maybe next week, right?
Maybe, yeah, depending.
You never know.
World Series.
The schedule here changed. Sometimes, you know, you get preempted.
I think we're on next week.
We are. You get preempted for NHRA sometimes. It's what happens here on NHRA.